as I grew up as a young man, the teaching and preaching on the kingdom of God just kept gradually getting less and less. And so my knowledge of what the kingdom of God was simply like England has a kingdom, and it includes the whole kingdom of England. If you include the United Kingdom, it would include Ireland and Scotland, Wales. And so my idea of a kingdom was the Lord being the king and the kingdom being all his subjects. I had no idea how kingdoms were looked upon back in the time when the Bible was written. So I had a completely erroneous idea about what the kingdom of God was. But I had a lot of company. And quite frankly, in our churches, a lot of them are about as confused as I was on it as a young preacher. But after I began to study the Word of God, I began to discover that the Lord kept indicating I should do something concerning the kingdom of God. And I realized it couldn't be what I thought it was. So over the passage of time, I've come to a definite, positive conclusion as to what the kingdom of God is and why, after I'm saved, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm going to talk tonight about how to lose your race of life crown. You can't lose your salvation. That's permanent and indelible forever. And you can't lose your promise of a glorified body to be received when Jesus comes and raptures out all the saints. But there is a race of life that you're supposed to run after you're saved, and the race is for the kingdom of God. This city is the kingdom of God. No ifs, ands, or buts. It is the kingdom of God. And in order to run this race, the kingdom of God is the prize. And the place and the track lane in which you're supposed to be running, the place the race is run properly, is in a local New Testament church. And if you're not running the race for the kingdom in the right lane, which is the New Testament church, then you're not going to be crowned and receive the victor's crown in heaven, because this race has to be run by the rules. So there's a race, there's a place and a track lane, and there's a kingdom city. And that's what I'm racing for, and that's what I'm running for, because I've been saved these 56 years. Now, how do you run this race? Well, if I had gone out for track and the coach had just said, okay, get out there and do the best you can, heaven help me. But coaches have a purpose. They tell you what the rules are. They explain them to you where you realize if you break them, you're put out of the race. They teach you how to run. They teach you how to run best according to the rules. And that's exactly one of the major reasons that God left his word here. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because it's the book that God gave that tells you how to run the race, where to run the race, what the rules are, and you have to follow those rules in order to run it properly. Now, there are lots of things God indicated in his word that are interesting. But the first New Testament church had already been saved and scripturally baptized for some time when in Matthew 6:33-34, he told them, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto them. If they were already a permanent part of the kingdom of God at the time that Jesus said that to them, and they had eternal place in the kingdom of God, then why did he ever say it to them? Because they already had it assured, supposedly. But he told them to seek it. And the reason is, it's a city. It's a kingdom city that's three-fifths the size of the United States. And after you get saved, that's where you ought to want to live. I'm not talking about going to heaven, because there's a big earth outside it. I'm talking about where you want to live in heaven. And I'm talking about receiving a crown for running the race of life, which is the victor's crown, a laurel wreath, that you got for running the race. Here are four things that will cause a person not to be crowned as a race participant at the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged basically and primarily for how well you ran this race, whether you ran it lawfully according to the rules, ran it in the right place. So here are four things that will cause a person not to be crowned as a race participant at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not talking about going to heaven. All the saved are going to heaven. All of them are going to receive glorified bodies. I'm talking about the judgment for the race you ran as a saved man or woman standing before Christ at his judgment seat. And these are some things that you want to avoid. The first thing that will cause a person not to be crowned as a race participant at the judgment seat of Christ is failing to finish the race. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if, that's a big if we faint not. This church has over 200 people on its roll. This is a pretty good Sunday night crowd. I guess there were probably about 80 here tonight, maybe 85. This morning, if you counted everybody in the back out here, we had probably had over 120. So it's a pretty good bunch of people. But we've got people on this church roll that haven't been here in a coon's age. Why? They fainted. Are they lost and going to hell? No. They just quit. They gave up. There's a multiplicity of reasons. There, of course, poor health and being in a nursing home and things of that nature, that's perfectly acceptable to God. But just to give up, quit running the race, quit coming to church, quit being faithful, that's going to cause you to lose your crown, not your salvation. People say, well, I don't really care about a crown. No, you do, but you don't believe it. Because if you believed it, you'd run the race. The second thing is running in the wrong lane. You can lose your crown for doing that. Running in the wrong lane. Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The church is a local visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers who are coveted to carry out the commandments of Jesus Christ and are fellowshipping together for the purposes of God's kingdom on this earth. They are people who are trying to do what God said to do, the way they said to do it, in the place he said to do it. You cannot run this race outside of the New Testament church and please God. You may think you can, but you cannot. I know a lot of people that after they get saved, they get supposedly on fire for Jesus. They run out and get them a tent, start traveling all over the country, have great evangelical movements. Some of them are quite talented in their ability to speak. They get huge droves of people down an aisle. Everybody looks at them and says, man, that guy is really God's man. No, because he has no concept of what a local assembly is. He doesn't know what a church is. And that scripture says, unto him be glory in the church. It's by Christ Jesus. But who died for the church? Who organized the church? Who formed the church? Who led the church? Who still is in the church? You can't give glory to God running in the wrong lane. So you can lose your crown. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, I'm going to tell you, I've seen these great preachers on television, and I dearly love them to death. And I'm sure when they stand up there, the Lord's going to give them a great crown. Not according to this, he's not. Because most of those fellows you admire and appreciate so much think the church is universal and invisible, consisting of all believers. They believe in open communion, and they believe that any kind of baptism, if it's by immersion, is acceptable. They're wrong. Because all those things have to do with what make up a church. They are not running this race properly. Why? Because they're not right at dividing the word of truth. Why? They're trying to please me. Now, you've known me for 26 years, some of you. You know I'm full of Barney, and you know that I can be real cute when I want to, and I can put on a real sideshow. I could do just as well as the rest of those freaks on television if I was in this for the money or if I wanted to impress people. But the only person I want to please, I'm certainly not going to impress him, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm in the place trying to do what he wanted me to do. I'm running the race in the right lane. And so far I haven't quit. So I haven't lost my crown. Running for the wrong reason. We've got missionary Baptist preachers that do this. You say, oh, Brother McElroy, I can't believe that. Well, I used to do it. You say, well, do you still do it? Every once in a while I get cute because I want people to like me. What happens? God convicts the dickens out of me and I repent. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That word heartily is ekpsyche. It means from the soul. It means from the saved soul that God seals with a new spirit. And it says, do it as to the Lord. You say, Brother Michael Murray, I can't believe that missionary Baptist preachers would do this for money and not for the honor and glory of God. Then how come every time a man is without a church, many of them start looking at the minutes of the association so they can see how much a church pays? I wish they didn't even put that in the associational minutes, because that has a lot to do with whether he goes there or not, and it's a complete lack of confidence in God, because I've had people say, well, they've got a family, they've got this, they've got that. Yes, but if they've got God and God wants them to go to a place, God will provide. And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. He's the one that's going to be sitting there judging what kind of a race you made when you were in heaven. And you serve the Lord Christ. You're not serving Christ if you're not in one of his churches, and if you're not doing it for his honor and glory, and if you don't realize what you really are, an unprofitable servant, a not needed servant, and you need to learn who to work for. Because I have a strong suspicion that at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have a whole line of missionary Baptist preachers up there that are going to be men who supposedly did great things. They had great honor, great recognition, great attention, big salaries. I'm not jealous. I'm just telling you this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it all depends on why you do what you do for the Lord. A lost man can preach the gospel, and a man can preach the gospel for money and a multiplicity of the wrong reasons. He can preach it because he loves attention, recognition, and praise from men, and he can get that, and it satisfies him, and it just his hunger for that keeps on going and going and going. But he can end up at the judgment seat of Christ and not get a crown because he worked for the wrong reason, for the wrong people, for the wrong master. The last thing is not running according to the word. You won't be crowned if you don't run according to the word, because the word is the race manual. It tells you exactly how you should run. It tells you what you should not do to your other opponents. It tells you should remain in your lane. So when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul said, till I come, give attendance to, carefully consider, study. Give attendance to reading, reading the word, exhortation, exhorting others and yourself to obey the word, and to doctrine, didaskalos, to teaching, the system and doctrine as to how God wanted you to run the race, where he wanted you to work, run it, and how you were supposed to run it in that place. Why? That's the prize. The prize is the kingdom city itself. I'd be a fool not to want to live here, and I do. I wouldn't be a good father if I didn't want my children to live there, and I do. And sometimes it breaks my heart because I see them running the same stupid, irregular race that I ran, seeking after all the things the world had to offer, merely trying to survive and living a miserable existence, when all God ever wanted me to do was just turn my life over to him and start running the race in the place that he designated. But I was too big a fool to see it until I was 38 years old. I deeply regret that. And now I'm paying a price for it by watching some of my own children do the same stupid things that I did spiritually. And I wish to God I could do something about it, but I can't. All I can do is preach and teach the word of God and hope for the best. But after you get saved, you're in a race. The race has to be run in the church. That's the place and the track length, and the prize is where you live in heaven. A man doesn't love his children if he's not interested in where they're going to spend eternity and what they're going to be doing there. At least he doesn't love them as much as he should. Called in salvation to finish the race of life. This is what Paul indicated the race of life was. In Philippians 3:13-14, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. To apprehend means to reach out, to grasp, to completely understand, to comprehend. He said, I don't understand what this is all about. Well, neither do I completely, but I've got the word of God, and every year I understand a little bit more about it than I did before. Why? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that he is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice what Paul said he did. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I've had members of this church that have told me they were such wicked people. They, oh, Brother Mac, you just don't understand how bad I was. You don't know how bad I am. and they let it drag them down. They say, oh, I've been divorced, I've been this, I've been that, oh, it just never worked, and all this stuff. And they act like, well, I'm so bad, I can't possibly please God. If you realize that, you finally got a head start, because you know how worthless you are in your own mind. But then God can use you, because if you really think you're that bad, then you're going to have to rely on the power of God to do it. The ones that never do the right kind of work are the ones that are self-righteous hypocrites. God's after people that know what they are. Because once you realize how helpless and sinful you are, then God can use you. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I've told you this story many times. It was about the Miracle Mile in Canada. Roger Bannister was the man who had just broken the 4-minute mile, which people had tried to break for centuries. John Landy was a much better runner than he was, and they had the Miracle Mile up in British Columbia. And John Landy had a tremendous lead on Bannister, and he was going to win the race. But he had a perfect stride, but he looked back. And when he looked back to see where Bannister was, he broke his stride and he started to stumble, and Bannister had a tremendous kick, and Bannister won the race. Why? Because he was more concerned about what was behind him than he was in what was in front of him. Listen, I've made so many mistakes and committed so many sins and been so stupid in so many different ways that I don't have time to look back and rehash that. I'm concerned about the finish line. I'm concerned about what happens from now until the time I draw my last breath or Jesus comes. And I'm concentrating on what I'm doing now, looking forward to what I'm doing tomorrow, praying and asking God for discernment, for wisdom, and for understanding. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, I've got salvation, so that's not the prize. I've got security of believer, that's not the prize. What is it that's the prize? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The prize is where you live in heaven, and the race you run determines that. And it ought to make a lot of difference to you, because you're going to be living somewhere in that kingdom for 1,000 years, and then after that, forever, which blows the mind. The high calling of God, high calling, heavenly calling. You're called to heavenly places. And if you think your treasure is in heaven, you'll concentrate on the tape, the end of the race, being the kingdom of God and a treasure waiting for you in heaven, and you'll be faithful to God to the finish. But if you don't believe that, you won't. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I understand that. When I was younger, I didn't, but I understand it now. I trust Christ now 1,000,000 times more than I did when I was young. I need to trust him 1,000,000 times more. But I just preach and teach and study and present God's Word, and then God's Holy Spirit takes His Word, which He led me to study, and He uses it to accomplish His purposes. The Word wasn't mine. I didn't write it. The Holy Spirit of God had to empower me to preach it. He had to teach me. So when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not going to be able to use the personal pronoun I. I'm going to have to use the name of Jesus Christ as the one who did all the work, who has all the honor and all the glory. I just thank God that He's chosen to share with me a useless instrument that He's cleaned and used, and give me something for something that I didn't do or couldn't do, but I simply let Him do it in me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this race is not nearly as hard as most people think. It just involves doing what the Lord said, and then not worrying about it, and letting the Lord take care of what needs to be done with it. Notice what He says in Philippians 4:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So what's wrong with those fellows on television? They're not doing of God's good pleasure. You say, you don't know that. Yes, I do. Because I know unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Those fellows are picking the pockets of those that they're listening to. Who are the most famous preachers in this land? You can name them off. Do they know what the local church is? No. Are they doing what they do for the honor and glory of God? No. They're doing it for their own personal self-centered reasons, either for money or to draw attention to themselves or to have a fantastic reputation where everybody respects them and looks up to them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if Jesus had done what He did for popularity, He would never have gone to the cross. If Paul had done what he did for popularity, he would never have paid for his life with his head chopped off. Those men paid for what they believed with their lives. They weren't popular. They didn't make a lot of money. They didn't have great reputations, but they knew what the church was, and they were willing to die for it. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the problem with this generation. They don't know what the church is. The universal invisible church heresy has been the greatest triumph of the devil over men and women than any other thing he's ever done. To teach people that the church is universal and invisible takes away the whole purpose of running the race, and God can't get glory out of anything that isn't done inside the church. 2 Timothy 2:5. How do you lose your crown? And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in order to be a good runner, you've got to master the rules and the techniques that are used for running. And in order to strive lawfully, you've got to follow the rules that God gave in that book, and you've got to follow the teaching that he gave concerning where you should run the race, how you should run the race, and why you should run the race. Then he says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. What do you think he's talking about? Where they've already progressed to in the Word of God. Back in that day and time, there were people that were falling away from the faith. Jude wrote a letter and urged them not to depart from the faith. He started to write a letter about salvation. And then he urged them not to depart from the faith. These were men and women who had come to a point where they knew what the church was. They knew that they were working for the Lord in the church. And heretics were showing up telling them they could lose their salvation, telling them a lot of different things. To believe that the church is not local and visible is ungodly heresy. And it has what has led us into the position that we're in this worldwide mess today. Because when the church was local and visible, families became a part of it. They became an integral functional part of it. And the mother and the father and the children grew up in that local church. And they loved that local church. And they loved one another. And they grew up as a family, a church family, in a local visible church. When the devil came up with the universal invisible church heresy and destroyed the concept of the local church, he scattered people to their homes and turned them over to these demonstrative freaks on television who are after your money, after everything you'll give them that you've got. But God's after your heart, God's after your soul, and God wants you to live for him. God wants you to run the race, but you've got to run it according to his rules. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast that thy house, let no man take thy crown. How can somebody take your crown? Very easily. We've got several different heresies floating around our churches right now. One of them is the New Lighter Doctrine, which teaches that you have to be baptized into a New Testament church to receive the Holy Spirit. That's a lie. That's heresy. It's wrong. Terribly wrong. The other is Calvinism, which teaches that you didn't have a choice in your salvation, that God determined who was going to hell and who to go to heaven before the foundation of the world. You've got a heresy teaching you can lose your salvation going around some missionary Baptist churches now. I've never seen such a maze of false teaching that's been progressing through our churches, and it's coming from the outside, primarily from the Protestant movement. Brothers and sisters in Christ, a man can take your crown if you follow his false teaching. But if you follow the Bible and give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, if you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, then nobody's going to be able to lead you down that path. Nobody's going to lead you down a trail of heresy. And you're going to end up with a crown in heaven because you've run the race lawfully the way that God indicated. 1 Corinthians 9:26-27. Paul knew he couldn't lose his salvation, but Paul knew he could lose his crown. He knew that he might stop running the race. He was acutely aware of it. He knew that he himself might be led away into heresy. It's a real possibility. The man who thinks he can't is the very man who's the best candidate. 1 Corinthians 9:26-27. Paul said, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one beating the air. Most expositors tell you that has to do with prize fighting. I don't think so. I think what it's talking about is a runner. You have to keep your arms in perfect synchronization when you're running long distances. You can't just flail them up in the air because it throws you completely off stride. So it's talking about running a race with your whole body in subjection spiritually. Well, you say, how do I keep my body in subjection spiritually? Well, you've got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right dividing the word of truth. You've got to give attention to exhortation, to reading, and to doctrine. That's what I'm here for. That's why God called me here. That's why God calls all pastors. They're supposed to preach the word. They're not supposed to preach about the word. They're not just supposed to preach three subjects, salvation by grace, secure the believer, and Jesus is coming. They're supposed to teach you the unpleasant things. They're supposed to teach you the nitty-gritty, the things that aren't too happy, that make you feel guilty because you're not doing them. They're supposed to preach the truth, the whole truth, the whole counsel, and nothing else. Our preachers don't do that much anymore. They just preach what people want to hear. That's why it's so easy for our churches to be led off in false paths and heresy. He said, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, not so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You can't live above sin, but you can sure put up a whale of a fight if you keep confessing your sin and going back to the Lord and still running no matter what. Don't quit. That's the key word. Two key words. Don't quit. Lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word means rejected from the race. It doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. It means you become a castaway from the race because you didn't run it properly. You can't know how to run this race except by this book. And don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I ran this race wrong. I ran it wrong. But I did it in ignorance. And once I saw what the truth was, I stopped running a bad race and started running a race according to the rules. And if I was running a bad race, and I know it, then every one of you are perfectly capable of doing the same. And unless you stay in the Word and study the Word and want to know what the Word says, you're going to get off into heresy. And if you think you can't, you're probably the very one that will. I myself should be a castaway. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He didn't run the race. He didn't get the crown. He lost it. Why? He didn't run the race properly. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Don't worry. If you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. And don't worry, you're going to receive a glorified body. But this is a man who is pictured as coming out of a burning house. Everything behind him is burned. Everything he did was a waste of time on his part because he didn't run the race properly. And he's standing there with no reward. Well, it'll be glorious in heaven even for those who have no reward. But thank God he told us that there was a race worth running. And it's there. And you have to run it where God said in the church. I want you to notice what he said in 1 Corinthians 3:15-17, verse 16. He says, know you not? You know what the problem is with those fellows on television? Know you not. They either don't know or they don't want to know. You know why they sold my books at Texarkana? Because you know what I put in those books? Salvation by grace. That's all I put in. They sold. They're some of the best-selling books down there. But what about those preachers that wrote about open closed communion? What about those preachers that wrote about the church? They got them jammed over in one corner where you can't hardly see them. Why? They don't sell. But I had some things I wanted the people to know about the end time. So I didn't lie. I just put salvation in there and let it go at that. I don't think I compromised because I'm telling you about it. But those fellows you see on television and all those great men who write these wonderful books about salvation by grace, secure the believer, and Jesus is coming, and how to raise your children and live a Christian life, they make millions of dollars. And they sell millions of books. But they don't write about the church. They don't write about the Lord's Supper. They don't write about any of the things that God gave us to entail us and encourage us to run the race. Why? People don't want to hear it. They either don't know or they don't want to know. He says, know ye not. This is what they don't know. That ye is plural. It's Emmaus. He's not talking to a single person. He's talking to a local church at Corinth. He said, know you all not that you all are the temple of God? He's not talking about your body as a temple of God. In other places he does. Your body is a temple of the living God. But he's talking about the church as a local temple of God. And when he says, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, that word that he used there in that particular verse of Scripture is used in the plural sense, and it's among you. It's among you all. It's not in an individual. It's in a local church. Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. People don't treat the church with respect, even though it's the body of Christ. How can you teach something with respect if you don't know what it is? If you think the church is made up of a universal, invisible body of all believers, how do you treat that with respect? You can't. You can only treat the church with respect if you know what it is. And this is a local church of God. And I respect it, and I love it, and Christ is here tonight, and he is here personally in the midst of us. And that makes my experience here a very enjoyable one. If any man defile the temple of God, every church is a local visible temple. Him shall God destroy. How do you defile it? By doing something that would hurt it, by doing something that would destroy its intentions and motives, by deliberately and willfully departing it. And that's not talking about destroying you spiritually. It's talking about destroying you physically. for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That's plural. It's not talking about a local body, a local body of flesh, one single body. It's talking about the local visible body of Christ, which is the church. You cannot treat the church with too much respect. You can't do it. It's impossible. You cannot treat it with too much respect. If Jesus Christ was to suddenly appear right here, right now, and you saw him in his glorified body right here, you'd treat him with a lot of respect. You'd do it by sight because you'd see. But I tell you, he's here right now. And I tell you that you, the members of this church, are the body of Christ. And we ought to treat one another with the same respect that we would treat the body of Jesus Christ, because that is what we are. He said, I have fought a good fight. He fought. That's the way you run the race. It was a good fight. Why was it a good fight? He knew what the rules were. He said, I have finished my course. He didn't faint. He didn't quit. Why did he finish his course? Because he knew he was supposed to keep running. Because he didn't want to be a castaway. Because he was running from church to church, teaching in all the churches. He didn't believe it was a great universal invisible body. He believed each one was a local visible body of Christ. I have kept the faith. You want a crown? First of all, you got to fight. Secondly, you got to finish. And third, you got to keep the faith. You can't fight a good fight outside of God's church. You can't run a race properly. You can't finish outside God's church. And you can't keep the faith outside God's church. So you've got to be in his son's local visible body, or you're just wasting your time. And when you arrive in heaven, I guarantee you, you will not receive a crown, because you would not run it according to his instructions. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Love his appearing. By this shall you know them, that they love the brethren. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. If you love his appearing, you'll love one another. You'll treat the body of Christ with proper respect. I've already told you about this runner, this fellow that ran this magnificent race. I've covered that. He was a Tanzanian runner. Even though he was beaten, the race was over an hour. He was the last man in. It was dark. He still finished the race. You know quite well what he said. I've told you about three or four times. He said, my country did not send me to Mexico to start the race. They sent me to finish the race. God didn't save you, lead you to scriptural baptism, and put you in one of his churches just to start the race. He put you in one of his churches to finish the race. That's why you're here. Oh, most people don't finish. Most of the people that get saved in our churches, they either don't get baptized, or they do, and then you don't see them anymore. Over 1,900 years before the 1968 Olympics, a battered, persecuted, tired old man found himself in a deep, cold prison in the city of Rome. He was about to finish the race of life, and he knew it. And had the reporter asked him why he had not quit the race earlier, knowing it would end in a dark prison, I think he might have said, my God did not send me to Rome to start the race. My God sent me to Rome to finish the race. God did not save you to start the race. God called you to finish it. I don't think Paul cared whether Paul or John had ever ran a better race, but simply that he finished it still running. You don't lose your crown by comparison to how well you ran in relation to others, but by dropping out before the finish or not running in the truth. This is the last scripture. If you took a listing of all the church rolls and missionary Baptist churches across this country, I guarantee you would find at least a 6-to-1 ratio of people that were on the church roll and people that were faithful in it. Only about 1 out of 6 ever really runs the race properly, ever really cares. Well, I've done this tonight, and I do this all the time, and I know it's repetitious. I realize that. But I don't want you to quit the race, because I do love you. I do care for you. If you ask me, what's your main concern about me, Brother McElmurray, that you won't quit the race? You say, you mean personally me? Yeah, that's the truth, every one of you. But there are no exceptions. That's my main concern about you. You say, well, you don't have to worry about me, Brother McElmurray. If you've got that attitude, you're the very one I'm worried about. Because this is not an easy race. It's a race where you have to follow Jesus, and you have to run according to his rules. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, you did run well. A lot of you have run a good race. You've run well. But these people were having a problem. He said, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the quickest way to lose your crown. Quit worshiping him in truth. He says, this persuasion that's hindering you, that somebody taught you, cometh not of him that calleth you. God wants you to finish the race, and God wants you to finish it in truth. Tonight we're going to baptize Amanda Hughes, or the church is. I'm doing it by their authority. And I tell you what my concern is going to be for Amanda Hughes for the rest of her life. Just exactly what it was for her mother, and what it is for her father and her other sisters, and what it is for you. I want you to finish the race. I want you to run it in one of his churches. If you can't run it here in this church, find another church that's scriptural and run it in that one. But run the race, because it's important. It determines where you live in heaven, not whether you go there or not, but where you live. And I do love you. Otherwise, I wouldn't be so hard on some of this. Sometimes I guess you feel like I try to put you on a guilt trip all the time. I really don't. The Word of God puts me on a guilt trip all the time. I might as well get some of you in the same boat. But God expects us to run the race. But you see, it's something you have to decide about personally. So we're going to have one stanza of invitation. And now, a matter of fact, we'll just go ahead and have the baptismal service.